for an Easter message last week, because he lives. The results of because he lives, there are a few outlines lying around. But today we go back to 1 Peter, and we're at the close of chapter 4. The last part of 1 Peter chapter 4 might seem like previous sermons. Peter kept repeating that suffering will come to his readers. We will not spend all of our time on this repetition of suffering before glory, but we will see that topic. And then we'll get to 1 Peter chapter 5. Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep, but it also teaches church leaders are shepherds of the sheep. At the close of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, there are three truths. Number one, persecution can be expected. There will be opposition. Number two, there will be benefits from the persecution for Jesus. Benefits from opposition because of him. And then number three, the final conclusion is entrust your soul to the faithful Creator. So we'll look at each of these three. Verse 12 will be our first section. Opposition can be expected. They're not going to like Christians all of the time. Verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Do not be surprised upon fiery testing. The Greek word for fire is pyre. We think of a funeral pyre. That's how it's used in English, but this could be a persecution unto death, or it need not be that bad. But it's going to be fiery. 1 Peter was written at the time that Nero started his persecution. The city of Rome burned in AD 64. Many thought that Nero is the one who did it, his egomaniacal weirdo, that he wanted to burn the city off so that he could do his own building projects. And he got in trouble for the blame, so he tried to blame the Christians. They are the ones that burned the city. He crucified Christians by putting tar on them and setting them on fire. He would dress them in leather, which still had meat on it, and feed them to the lions. So that was kind of what was happening as he was writing 1 Peter. Peter is obviously still alive, but he traditionally was crucified upside down eventually. Americans do not have the worst persecution. We have had a little more Christian school and church shootings than in past decades. Have had some. Christian persecution is much worse. Used to be in Iran, but a lot of them have left. Same way with Syria, a lot of them have left. More recent years, the Muslims in Nigeria would attack Christian schools and churches. We don't have the worst of suffering in the United States. We can expect opposition. There have been references in 1 Peter to speaking down. Usually has the Greek word down in it. We'd say maligning, slander, often translated reviling, usually words. Parallel verses about suffering for Jesus, Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted to suffer for his sake. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, no one should be disturbed by these afflictions, For you yourselves know we have been destined for this. 2 Timothy 3:16, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So we don't have the worst, but not to be surprised if not everybody likes us individually or likes us as a church or likes Christians everywhere. Opposition will be a fiery trial. He also thinks about fire as purifying metals. He had talked about that in previous lines in 1 Peter. Making knives, making wagon wheels, making building and farm tools, a fiery trial. Opposition can be expected. Don't be surprised, verse 12. Verses 13 and 14 will give some truths to help in suffering for Jesus. So we will read verses 13 and 14. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation, apocalypse, of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. For if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Number one, suffering for Jesus causes us to live in his pattern. He had opposition. We will be like Jesus if we have opposition. We share his life's pattern. Number two, suffering now will lead to future glory. Glory at the coming, the apocalypse, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, suffering, including people talking about us, causes more closeness to the Holy Spirit. So we'll go through all of these, a little bit more teachings on each one. It is an honor to suffer for Jesus. I've been thinking about our soldiers lately, but I think that's their attitude of, it is an honor to suffer for the United States of America. When they were finding the soldier in danger, I heard that the text to the people was, God is good. God is good. It is an honor to suffer for Jesus. Suffering now leads to glory. 1 Peter 5:10 is ahead of us, what we're doing today. But 1 Peter 5:10, same page in my Bible, might be able to look at 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of grace who has called you to his eternal glory. Suffered a while, eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2:12 also says, if we endure with him, we will also reign with him. Number three, for blessings, verse 14 tells of the glory resting on us now, the Spirit of glory resting on you. These blessings can bring good feelings. These blessings can bring songs of praise, which we talked about in our psalm study. Verse 13 is an honor to share Jesus' sufferings. Verse 13, it will end in glory after the sufferings. Verse 14, sufferings make us closer to the Holy Spirit. Also, verse 14, when it says you are blessed, that Greek word means you will be happy. Often there's a different word for blessed that we've talked about. That's saying something good about somebody. But this is a different word. It means you will feel happy if you put up with people speaking against you for being a Christian. Next, there are some statements about suffering. I will turn the statements into questions to ask questions whether we have this but they're mostly statements. Verses 15 through 18. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, a thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed. It is to glorify God in this name, suffering and glory again. Verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, we have a little bit of trouble in this life. What will be the eternal outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous are saved, it costs a lot to save us. What will be the outcome of the godless man and the sinner? These who do not accept Jesus' payment for sins and have to pay for it themselves, what will be the outcome? Verse 15 is telling us, make sure we aren't criminals. Verse 15 does teach that criminals should be punished. The list is interesting because the murderer and thief or evildoer, but the last one is troublesome meddler. That's interesting. Troublesome meddler. How would that fit 2026? Spam phone calls and emails that are trying to steal money? Troublesome meddler. I kind of made the list here. We also have a reference to the word Christian in verse 16. That is interesting because usually they're called the brothers. Christian is not used that much in the Bible. Only used three times, the word Christian. The ancients tried to make fun of Christians. They have found an artifact with a picture of a donkey dying on a cross. And that's the way the Romans were treating the Christians, to make fun of them. But Christians accepted the name, were the Christianoi. We are his followers, whether you guys like it or not. The word Christian was first used in Antioch, Syria. That is in Acts 11:26. So we have 1 Peter 4:16, Acts 11:26. And then we have Acts 26:28, where Paul is on trial. It is interesting that the Jewish King Agrippa uses the word Christian. So even the oppositions were using the word Christian. And the king said, in such a short time, will you persuade me to become a Christian? So Christian was very early used already in the Bible. And Peter's command here in verse 16 is, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed if they make pictures of a donkey dying on the cross. Don't be ashamed of what they might say about you, or bad comments about Jesus. Already in an early time, Paul on trial again, it is known everywhere. It got around. The word Christian got around. And Romans 1:16 is parallel to our verse today. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Verses 17 and 18 gives Peter's questions. They illustrate the value of suffering for Jesus. And verse 15, already read, don't suffer punishment like a criminal. Verse 16, suffer for being called a Christian. Why? Our suffering now is nothing compared to what will happen to unbelievers. Whatever they would do to us now is nothing compared to the unbelievers suffering in eternity. So they can yak, yak, yak. And that won't hurt us as much as what they will have suffering for eternity. So they will not obey the gospel. That is, upu akuo, we get acoustics from it. They will not listen up. They will not listen up to the good news, and what will happen to them has far more sufferings than anything they can say about us now. We can kind of put up with their talking. They're going to have real trouble. Be more worried about them. Also, verse 18 is teaching us it cost Jesus a lot to save us, so don't compromise. Don't compromise with any of the teaching because it cost Jesus a lot of pain. Salvation was brought with much difficulty. Therefore, do not compromise one's salvation. They are in a category of suffering, but we will suffer a little. They will suffer more. They are in an unimaginable suffering to come. We stop before reading verse 19, and his point there is, it's better to entrust one's soul to God. Don't compromise with any of their reviling. Entrust one's soul to God, like Jesus did. And now we'll read verse 19. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Saving faith is not just believing God exists. Saving faith is actually entrusting one's soul to Jesus. So the start of saving faith is entrusting the keeping of a soul to Jesus. But also, in Christian living, we keep going, entrusting all of lifetime to Jesus. So the believers had already entrusted their souls to Jesus, and now they're supposed to entrust all of their lifetime to Jesus, even when people talk about them, even when people are opposition causing suffering. Obviously, believing in Jesus as Savior means we believe in creation. We believe in a Creator. They go together. We won't go off into creation science, but regardless of, say, the age of the earth, life did not start itself, and believing in Jesus as Savior is already based upon believing that there is a God who is a Creator. Peter thought about the pattern of suffering for Jesus for everybody and glory to follow, but he was also thinking about Christian leaders. The Christian leaders at his time will be especially in danger of persecution. Everybody, but especially the Christian leaders. So that's probably how the topic goes from suffering over to Christian leaders now in 1 Peter 5. And we will look at verses 1 through 4 today. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker of the glory that is to be followed, shepherd, Latin is pastor, the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Our text this morning in 1 Peter 5 does not refer to deacons. That is a biblical work position in the church. Elsewhere has deacons, 1 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 1. Deacon means servant, kind of like a feeling you could have a deacon board, but everybody who does something all of the time is like a servant, is like a deacon. Romans 16 calls Phoebe a deaconess. So could have deacons and deaconess. Here are a different classification of leaders in 1 Peter 5. Other places have some of these names, but 1 Peter 5 is the only place that has all three of the names. Titus chapter 1 talks about overseers. We have overseers here, oversight in verse 2. Episcopal is the Greek word. We're getting denominations from these words, but skopos, to see. Episcopal is overseer, to watch over things. Acts 20 verse 7 said Paul sent to the elders and called them to himself at Ephesus. Presbyteros is elders. So some verses have overseers, episcopal. Other verses have elders, presbyters. Sometimes they have two. 1 Peter 5 is the only one that has all three. Acts 20:28 has two. It says to the presbyters, the elders, to shepherd, pastor the flock. So there's two of them. Only place in the Bible where there are all three names is right here. 1 Peter 5. I exhort the presbyters to shepherd, to pastor, and then to exercise oversight, episkopos. In the New Testament, the main authority were the apostles. The apostles were given direct revelation from God. The apostles could make up commands for everybody. There are no more apostles today. An apostle had to have seen the risen Lord. No one around today was a witness of the risen Jesus. So if they call themselves apostles, it's kind of a mix-up. Apostles are a higher category. Then below them are these three, all one group. They are pastors, elders, overseers, King James often translated bishops. A pastor or elder cannot give new truths that are not in the Bible, cannot start making up teaching for all Christians at all times and in all places. That's an apostle. This second category should follow the apostles' teaching and teach the apostles' teaching given in the New Testament books. None of them should do what they don't like. If a person hates being in the ministry, he should not be in the ministry. It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while I get a phone call. I hate doing this job. You have the wrong job. If you are a pastor, elder, overseer in a church and you hate it, it says don't do it involuntarily. Do it as something you like to do. And then verse 3, when you do that, don't be what a modern term would be, don't be bossy. Don't make up things that are not in the Bible and like to order people around. The attitude is, I am a leader, you will do what I tell you to do. Rather, follow what the Bible teaches, that's primary, and be below the authority of the apostles. Be an example. The Greek word for example is typos. We get typewriter from it. But be like a Bible example, a type. Very often we teach of the characters in the Bible, Moses and Abraham and Elijah, and they are types. Be an example. So all the elders and pastors should be an example. We are saved by faith alone, but there will be levels of rewards. Jesus spoke of levels of rewards of rulers of the cities in his kingdom. You rule over 10, you rule over 5. There will be levels of glory in the resurrection body. One star differs from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection. But there will be levels of crowns. There are some crowns for every Christian. Every Christian is eligible to earn that type of crown. 2 Timothy 4:8, those that love his appearing, those that love Jesus coming back will get a crown. 1 Corinthians 9, discipline, running a spiritual race. Run that you may receive the prize. And he had talked about Olympic type garlands or crowns. Evangelism. 1 Timothy 2:19, what is our crown? It is not even you. So everybody can have certain crowns. Loving his appearing, running hard in the race, evangelism, crowns offered to all believers. But this unfading crown of glory, this is the only reference to it. It's only for church leaders. The leaders are all three of these: elders, overseers, episkopos, and shepherds. Elders, overseers equals episkopos and shepherds. And they are offered an unfading crown of glory. Reference also to the chief shepherd. Chief is archi. We get architect from it, the chief builder. But Jesus is the chief shepherd. Nobody in his category, but under shepherds are now these church leaders, and under shepherds should be following the chief shepherd. He did talk about elders. What is the age at which somebody could become a church leader? That is never given. That's probably up to a church to decide at what age would one be considered old enough to be an elder. But they are a little bit older, even if we don't make it like 70, if we say like 50, a little bit older than a young kid. And there, Peter Stoss, but 1 Peter 5 will refer to the younger adults next time. Will the musicians please come?